Begin the current daf and set this b'metzia daf tezvav. Begin on the bottom of the daf, yudalam abeis, 10 lines up at the bottom of the yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. Now, the Gemara had quoted machlekes between Rav and Shmuel in the following case. Somebody sells a field to somebody else, and it turns out that it really wasn't the seller's. Actually, it was a gazan. He purportedly owned it, but it was really someone else's, selling it to someone else. And the other guy finds out that there was a one big scam. So the machlekes Rav and Shmuel, what could he get back now? Rav said, not only does he get his money back, but if let's say in the interim he thought it was his field, he actually increased the value of the land, he was mashbiachid, he collects that from the seller too. Whereas Shmuel said, no, the money he gets, but the shvach he doesn't get. So Rav Nachman explained the reason for Shmuel's halacha, even if he would have stipulated that I'm going to give you, if let's say this turns out to be problematic, the field for you, and you're going to come back and collect from me, not only will I give you the keren, I'll give you the shvach, still the halacha is Shmuel was saying that you're not going to get the shvach. The reason for that is, says Rav Nachman, is because it turns out retroactively that it really wasn't a sale. It was really a loan, because it really wasn't his field. Now, if he, when he sold him the field, he paid him $100, now he's giving him back $125, which is an added $25 for the shvach, essentially, really what it is, it's a loan with ribbis, because it really was no sale. It wasn't his to sell. So therefore, since it's mechzik ribbis, it looks like a violation of interest, therefore we don't allow him to give back more than the principal. That was Rav Nachman's halacha. Now, the Gemara had asked a question on Rav Nachman from a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, which now the Gemara continues asking from another brisa that elaborates on the halacha of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. The Mishnah Masechtas Gittin said that there are four things that, although it's owed by the debtor, however, it could only be collected from Nechasim and Necharin, those which are available by him, but not by Nechasim and Shabbatim. They are Achilles Peres, Shvach Karkois, and the Mos and the Isha of the Habonis. So the Gemara had already asked from the case of Shvach Karkois, which the Gemara assumed is talking about when it was bought from a guy who stole from someone else, and then the victim comes to collect, and you see that the Shvach Karkois. And that Rav Nachman said, no, that's talking about Baal Chayiv, but you're right, by a Gazlin, in such a case, actually he would not collect, even from the Chasim Nechayrin, the Shvach Karkois. Now the Gemara continues asking, Toshima. We learn another brice again that elaborates on that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, Lachilus Peres Ketzad. What is that first case of that Mishnah that they're talking about, that regarding consumption of produce, that cannot be collected from the Chasim Mishabadim? Says the brice, Harisha Gozl saw the Mechaver, someone robbed the field from his friend. Vaharehi Yitzim Mitachas Yadoi, now it's being collected, it's being taken away from him. Says the brice, Kishu Gaiv, when he collects, so he collects the principal from even incumbent properties, but it pays. But the produce, which this is a critical piece over here, in contrast to the previous Gemara's attempt, which was talking about something that we could say is talking about Baal Chayiv, produce, as we'd explained from a halach of Shmuel, that a Baal Chayiv, a creditor, doesn't collect. So obviously we're not talking about a creditor, so we can't give the same answer the Gemara gave in the previous halacha of Shvach Karkois. So the produce is given from the Chasim Necharin, is collected from the available properties of the one who sold it to him. That's the case of Achilles Peres, which is when Peres are lost, although one had it, now it was taken away from him, now he wants to go in and collect from the one that he wants to collect from, that could only be collected because of Tikkun Olam from the Chasim Necharin and not from the Chasim Mishabadim. So, says the Gemara Hechidami, what's the understanding of this price? If you would read it as literally as it says, the problem is, it only says someone who stole from someone else, and that's it. It says that it's taken away from him. When it's taken away from him, then he collects the keren from Nochasim Meshabadim and the payers from Nochasim Nechayrim. And that the Gemara asks, Gazlim Iman Gavi, who exactly is the robber collecting from? He has no right to collect from anybody. He stole it. Of course it's taken away from him. What would it mean that he's collecting? Elalav rather proves the Gemara, Kugan Shagazl Sodom Mechaver. Must be, we're talking about the yes. The first part, the Bryson mentioned, the second part, I didn't. Someone robbed a field from his friend. Must be talking about, then he sold it to someone else. And then that guy increased the value of the field more so that it even made complete payers. Then the victim came and collected it with the produce. And he's not compensating the purchaser only according to the amount of expenses that he put into being mashbiach the field, because the victim says, this was my field increased the value, not you. So whatever expenses you put in, fine, but the rest, it's my payers. Now, but one thing we see is that it says that Likach could go ahead and collect from the gazlin, the one who sold it to him, from those which are available, even for Paris for Shvach Kakois. Now that contradicts Rav Nachman's interpretation of a Shmuel who said that when someone buys from a Goslin, again, because we can't say it's a Toma Bal Chayiv, because Bal Chayiv doesn't collect the Paris. And here we're talking about even collecting not only Shvach Karkois, but even the Paris is going back to the one who bought it. And we're saying that the one who was stolen from, and yet here we see that the Lekeach is going to be able to collect from the Chasam Necharin, from the one who sold it to him, from the Goslin. And you said, Rav Nachman, in interpreting Shmuel, that there can never be a collection from Shvach from a Goslin, because of Mechzik Ribbis. And here you see that you are. So I think Moran says, Amar Rava, he says, actually, when the Brisa says, when he collects, it's not talking about the Lekeach, who is collecting from the one who sold it to him, who is the Goslin. Rather, actually, says Rava, we're not talking about that it was sold, so we don't have to amend the Brisa at all. It's not adding on the second half to it. Rather, when it says that when he collects the principal, it's talking about the victim. So it says Rava, Hacha Maiskin, what we're talking about over here is the following case. It's where a guy stole from his friend a field full with produce. Now, and he ate the produce. Now, the question then is, okay, fine, so the peris you could only collect from Nechasim Necharin. But the principle, why is the Brisa saying you're collecting from Nechasim Meshabadim if it's talking about the victim? Up until now we thought it was like Kech, so that makes sense. He would have to collect even the principle which was taken away from him. What does he collect? The monetary, because now the principal went back to the victim. So who does he collect from? Does he collect from the Chasim Mishabodim? But the question is, if it's not a reference to a Lekech, there actually is no Lekech over here. It's the victim when he wants to go ahead and now collect. So the Paris which was taken, okay, that's only from Necharin. But the Karka, the Karen, so you're saying you collect that from the Chasim Mishabodim? What does that mean? The land is right here in front. So that's what Rav explains, V'chafa b'boyrish sichin ma'aris. The thief actually dug pits, holes, ditches in this guy's field, which actually diminished the value of the field itself. So that's what the Brisa is saying. Bon nigza ligvis karen, if the victim's coming to collect his principal, the land, but the land's not there. There was holes, it was taken away from the land. That's good from the Chasim Meshabadim, that can be collected from a common properties. Bon nigza ligvis peris, but if he's coming to collect the produce, that's only good from the Chasim Necharin. As we said, that's tikkun ha'olam, because no one's going to know how much peris is going to be. Therefore, that is always only collectible from the Chasim Necharin. That says Rava, therefore there's not a contradiction for Rav Nachman. It's not talking about the way you're amending the Braisa that the Lekeach could collect Paris and Shvach Kakois from the Gazan who sold them, because that, like Shmuel said, that you cannot collect because Mechzik Ribbis. Here's talking about the victim collecting from the one who stole it from him, where again, the reason why you would collect the Karen from the Chasim Shabbatim is when he diminishes the value of the land itself. A second interpretation, Rabbi Barav Hunama, he says, Kagain, for example, that what we're talking about over here is actually Shenatlu Masikin, that non-Jewish thieves come and grab it away from the thief himself, and they forcibly take it away from him. Now, the Mishnah Baba Kamadav Tezayin Mabez says, if somebody robs a field from his friend, and then Masikin take it away from him, so if it's because of the Goslin, then he has to go ahead and give back another field to the guy that he stole it from. Now, so therefore, the way Rabbi Barav Huna is explaining this is, when it says v'harayyit mitachas yadoi, it doesn't mean, as we were interpreting up until now, that then in the court system they go ahead and take it away from him. It means that the masikin take it away from the robber. So that is what he explains. Bon nigzal ligvis karen, if the victim is coming to collect the karen. Because, and the question that we were addressing up until now, what do you mean collecting the Karen? The Karen's right here. It's not here because these non-Jewish people now took it away, although the land is there, but he can't get past it to them. By a regular Jew, he'll take him to court. These non-Jewish Masikin, there's nothing he can do about it. So that's what Bundling is a Ligvis Karen. If he's come to collect the principal, that guy from the Chasim HaShabbat, that he collected even from incumbent properties of the guy who stole it from him, because the moment he stole from him, he had a lien on all his properties. And if anyone who bought afterwards was already Meshubit. But nigs the ligvis peris, but if the victim is coming to collect the peris, that is, as we said, because of tikkun olam gave him the chasim necharin, you can only collect from available properties. Again, they're both interpreting the brisa and not like the questioner that was talking about a lekech. There is no lekech, it's talking about just a victim and a robber, and then just how do you interpret the exact definition of the brisa, but it's talking about that the victim is coming to collect the karen and the peris. Now the Gemara explains, Rava lo yomakra b'ravuna, the first interpretation didn't explain like the second one, because harehi yetsa mitachas yadi, the words of the braisa that, and it's being taken away from him, bedina mashma, sounds like in a court of law, which is in rightfully that the victim could collect from him, and that when we're saying that he's collecting the principal, so what does that mean if the court's giving him back his land? So that's as Rav had explained, because he had dug ditches in it, and therefore there's actually no more land. I mean, those pieces of land are missing, that he could collect from the chasam shabadim. But whereas in contrast to Rabbi Rav Huna that said that it, he had to interpret it was talking about that not the idol idolatrous masikin had taken it away, a whole different interpretation. Now, Rabbi Rav Huna lo makarava, he didn't say like the first interpretation, because hare yitzim tachas yadi, the words that, and it's being taken away from him, be'ena mashma, sounds like that it's there, that the whole field is being taken away, as is, not like Rabbi who had interpreted that there were ditches dug in it, and it's not as is. So that's what each one doesn't say like the other one. A third interpretation, a resolution for Rav Nachman, that this price shouldn't be difficult on his interpretation of Shmuel, Rav Ashiyam, he says, litzdodin ketani. Actually, although it says two halachas, they're actually going on two different variables of this equation. Kugaini gives, for example, the case Toma, somebody steals a field from his friend, full of produce. Now the thief eats the produce, and then the machar sasad, and he sells the field. And now it's being taken out in the court of law by the victim from the lekeach. So he has both, he resolves both reasons why each interpretation didn't like the other one. First of all, it's talking about bedina. It is being taken away from the lekeach in the court of law. And moreover, he's addressing the other concern, it's be'en. There's nothing here that's missing from the piece of land. So then how do we explain why would then the victim need to collect the keren from the chasam hashbadim if it's still here? So he explains that no, each one of these halacha is going on one of the other parties. But lekeach ligvis keren, if the consumer, because he is explained that there is another addendum to this price, there is another half of it. It was sold off after the gazan had eaten the payers. So now, when the lekeach, the one who bought, is coming to collect the principal because he lost, he paid for the actual field, he's losing that because the victim's taking that back, that is given the chasam mishabadim. That lekeach could collect from the chasam mishabadim. But nigzal ligvis payers, if the victim is coming to collect the payers, so again, that's not difficult because that everyone agrees that the actual keren, he could collect from the chasam mishabadim. The whole difficulty we had was on the payers part, on the shvach kakois, that it seemed like that the lekeach could collect from the meicher, which was difficult on Shmuel, and that explains the third interpretation of Ashi. No, that's on bon nigzal. That's the victim. When the victim comes, ligvis payers, when he's coming to collect the produce which the gazan had eaten from him, that's goyim the chasam necher, and that could only be collected from the available properties of the one who stole it from him, and not again from the chasam shabadim because of tikkun olam. Now the Gemara asks on the first two interpretations, bein l'rava b'rav huna, that they both explain the case that we're talking about is that the collection of the principal from the gazlan is not like the third interpretation, or like the questioner, that it was the lekeach. They both learned it's going on the victim. The victim is what's collecting, because there is no, according to them, any second half to the story. There's no, it wasn't sold off. So according to them, that they're saying that regarding the collecting of the principal, that is a case of milva pehu. When someone steals from someone else, although he can't really steal it, he just, it's like a loan, he owes that back, that's an oral loan. Now, an oral loan cannot be collected from the chasam mishabadim because it wasn't documented. It has to be documented to be a milva ksub bishtar, to be collected so that the lekuchas or the purchasers know about it. That's the way the halacha is. So here, where, yes, there's a reason why he has to collect the keren, either because now Masikin took it because of him or because he dug holes in it, whatever the reason is. So how can you say that you could collect from the chasam mishabadim because that's the keren, and keren's always collect from the chasam mishabadim, and his lien was first, but it's an oral loan. An oral loan cannot be collected from the chasam mishabadim. So now the Gemara answers, what we have to be talking about over here is Kesha Amad Bedin, where they already had a court case. In other words, before the thief sold the property, they already had gone to court, and the court held them responsible to give it back to the guy he stole it from. Now, once the court passed down a verdict, so the word gets out, and it's like it's a milah b'shtar. It's like that loan, so to speak, what he stole, meaning what he has to give him back. It's like a loan, he owes it to him. It's like it was documented in a document, and v'hadr zavin. And it's only then that he sold it off to lekuchas. That's why the victim could go ahead and collect from anyone that bought after the court case. that for sure is considered like a milvah ksav b'shtam. That's what he could collect from nechasim mishabadim. No, that the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, then peiros nami. Then why are you saying only the Karen they can collect from the Chasim Mishabadim and the Paris only from the Chasim Mechayrin? The whole reason of Paris is because they don't know, they're not aware how much it's going to be. Tikkun Oilam, no one's going to ever buy a field. It's not true. Everyone knows the amount of the Paris. It was the court verdict already passed down that this is what this guy owes him. Now, if anyone buys after that, it's already that amount was documented and that should also be collectible from the Chasim Mishabadim. Why is Paris then only from the Chasim Mechayrin? So the Gemara answers, Kishamad Bedin ala Karen, v'la'amad Bedin ala Paris. The court case that they had was only on the principal that he stole. They didn't yet have a court case regarding the amount of the produce that he consumed that he owes to the victim. Like Maris, my Pascha, we exactly did the Tana see fit that to say that the court case was only on the principal? And where do we go ahead in interpreting this and to say, but it wasn't on the Paris? Why should we differentiate and divide that as if that's the case that he's talking about, and that's going to resolve the first two interpretations to say that it's only talking about the Hamad Bedin, to say that the Karen can be collected from the Chasim Mishabadim was only on the principal, but it wasn't yet on the payers, on the produce. So the Gemara explains, Stama de Milsa, the normal way of things are, is Kitava Inish, when a person claims something from someone else. Here, a guy had his field stolen by someone else. Karen Tava Beresha, first thing he claims is the principal. I'll worry about how much was the payers, how much the increase was. First, I want my land back. So therefore, it makes sense to say that was the case where they only had the court case on the Karen. That's why it could be collected as a milvah ksav b'shtar from Nechasim Mishabadim, in contrast to the payers only collectible from Nechasim Necharen. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on what we had mentioned on the previous daf, which was what we had been interpreting from Rav Nachman. Is it really true what we had been saying up until now, that Shmuel's opinion was that if someone buys something from a robber, so Rav said that he gets his money back and he gets even the shvach back, Shmuel says he doesn't get it. Now the Gemara asks, is that really so? That Shmuel says that he cannot collect the increase, this guy who bought it thinking that it was a real sale, he benefited the land, he fertilized it, says Shmuel doesn't get that back. On that, the Gemara, is that so? But Shmuel said to Rav Chinan bar Shilas, who was a scribe, a sefer, he said, when you write a document, imlach, you have to first go ahead and consult with the seller if he wants to accept upon himself responsibility to have to pay back to the one who's buying his field. And only after you consult that he's agreeable, then you could write that shufra, that it's from the best of his properties regarding the principal, and shivcha, and even the increase, upeiri, and even the produce that the consumer makes in the field, that he's promising him that if someone grabs it away from you because of me, then you could go ahead and collect all these things from me, even from my best things. So that's what Shmuel told him, but you have to first consult with him that he's agreeable, amenable to that type of a document. Now that asked the Gemara, b'mai, what was Shmuel talking about when he told this sefer to do this? If you can entertain to say that he was referring to that because whoever's going to grab it away from the consumer was a creditor, on that as the Gemara, mi islay peiri? Does a creditor have peiri? One of the things Shmuel told the cipher was, consult with him that before the seller that if he wants to be agreeable to have to compensate the purchaser for shufra, shivcha, and peiri. One of them is peiri. That is so that he would have to compensate him for payers as if the creditor would collect the payers. But Rama Shmuel says, Bal Chayiv, a creditor, when he's collecting from the Chasim Mishabadim, he has a lien on the properties. He says he could collect what was increased in the value of the property. I mean, the property is the same, just the value was increased because he had made it better, that he could collect that. But shvach in av peiros loy, that means to say that only the land which he made better, because let's say he fertilized, but the peiros, the fruits which grew on the field, that the creditor does not collect. So therefore, obviously cannot be talking about that Shmuel had told him who could collect the shivcha and the peiri is when it was a creditor that's collecting. Rather, it must be talking about where the guy bought from a gazlan and the thief was promising the consumer, saying, look, if my victim comes and collects from you, a victim does collect the payers, then I will go ahead and compensate you. So we see that one of the items that he said he's going to give him and he gives him is the shvach. That contradicts Rav Nachman, who had said in Shmuel that never could a consumer go ahead and collect not only mois, but even shvach from the seller, because he said, as the Gemara explained, because of Mechzik Ribbis, he was clearly that Shmuel told the scribe, yes, go ahead and write it. And we said it must be talking about a case where it was a stolen field, and that we see that he'll be able to get the shrach from the seller, which is a goslin, even, and there's no concern for Mechzik Ribbis. So then Rav Yosef, he says, Hachma Iskinon, you're right. In general, it is a problem with Mechzik Ribbis. But what we're talking about over here is Kegoyin Sheyesh LeKarka. The robber has land. So therefore, when the Lekech wants to get paid back after the victim comes and takes back his stolen field, he's going to give him for the Shvach, he's going to pay him with land and not with money. So now it doesn't look like Ribbis. Ribbis is if a guy went and he took $100, this seller, who was really a thief, so it really was not a sale. Now he gives him back $125, that looks like Ribbis. But if he gives him back the $100 and he gives him back $25 worth of land, so that doesn't look like Ribbis. It looks like something relating to a sale. Now that Omalei Abayabai asked him Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. Chimuta Lulve Saw Besaw, do you think someone's allowed to lend a saw, which is a certain amount, let's say, of wheat, to get paid back a certain amount of, that same amount of wheat, but Mokam Shishla Karka in the place where he has land? In other words, because there's a prohibition actually of lending someone a certain amount of wheat to get that same amount back, because maybe in the interim the wheat will go up. So he gave him $100 worth of wheat. Although he's getting back the same amount, but he's getting back $125 worth of wheat, which that's a loan with seemingly Ribbis. And therefore that's prohibited. So says Abaya, what do you mean? You think if the guy has land, then it's permitted? It's not. It's the same problem. So here also, essentially what Abaya is saying is, even if he has land, how does that help? It's still going to be the same problematic situation of Mechzik Ribbis, because he's taking 100 and he's giving back 125. So Amalei, so that Rav Yosef says, no. Hasam Halva, the case you're asking me from, is a loan. By a loan, when he borrowed a saw worth of wheat and he's giving back a saw worth of wheat, since that's a loan, it's more appropriate to be concerned for Ribbis, for interest, where that's where the halachas of Ribbis apply, more than a sale. Hachazvini, here, although we explained that on some level it's not really a sale, but it really was a sale. He sold it to him. Now, it just turns out retroactively it really wasn't a sale because it was a stolen field. That's why we're saying it's like a loan, and therefore you can't pay back more than what was taken. But since you're giving back land, and moreover, it was in the form of a sale, therefore it's more lenient, and that's why it's not going to be a problem of Mechzik Ribbis. That's one resolution of Rav Yosef. Those that say that Rav Yosef, he said a different interpretation. The Chachma Iskina, what are we talking about over here, why it's not a contradiction? On Rav Nachman, is Kegun Shekanu Miyadai, is where the witnesses went, where it's brought down from Tasin Kedusha Chavavim Abayis, that the witnesses customarily would acquire for the purposes of the consumer, where they went and they had already acquired not only a responsibility for the Karen, but even on the Shvach, where he was already liable at the time of the sale, quote, quote, because really it was a stolen field, before that the consumer could, as if he's making money off the money that he gave to the seller. So therefore, you're really avoiding the problem of Mechzik Ribbis, because it was already the witnesses who made that required payment at the time of the sale, which was what we're considering the loan. So therefore, since at that time you already owed him the Shvach, you can't say that, oh, it's as if it's like Ribbis for the 6 months until the victim came and collected the field. Oh, so really that was a loan that you gave to the seller, because it really wasn't a sale, and then you're getting back more money. That's Mechzik Ribbis. That would only be if it would be happening now, 6 months later, that he's making money off that loan. But since the Shvach was already owed at the time of the actual sale, which is the requirement of the Shvach by the witnesses, therefore there's no problem about Mechzik Ribbis. And on this second version, also Amalei Abaya says, what? What do you think you're allowed to lend a certain amount of wheat to get the same amount of wheat back at the time when he made a kinyan on his hand? It's the same problem. Who cares that he made a kinyan that the payment would have to be paid and owed from now? It doesn't make a difference. It's still a problem about Mechzik Ribbis. Amalei Hasam Hava, Machazuni says the same answer, that there is a loan. A loan, definitely it's problematic because you're getting back more in value than what was given, and therefore that would be halachic problems of Ribbis, of interest. Here, it's not a loan, although we're going to look at it as a loan because it really was not a sale, but since it was in the form of a sale, therefore as long as it was Kanu Miyadai, we're not going to have the problem about Mechzik Ribbis. Gufa, the Gemara goes back to one of the halachas mentioned previously, that Amar Shmuel said, Bal Chayv Goyv Es HaShvach. And this was used in asking questions on the other halacha of Shmuel, and we mentioned this before, that a Bal Chayv, a creditor, when he's collecting from the incumbent properties, when there's a lien, because now the borrower defaulted, so he has to go ahead and collect from the properties, he collects not only the land itself, but even what was increased in value by the lekeach. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Teda, you should know this, halacha of Shmuel, that he could collect the shvach, and the lekeach cannot say, what do you mean, I made it better. Who are you to collect? This guy that I bought from, yeah, he owes you. So whatever I bought from him, that land, I give you back. But I made it, I bought it for $100, now it's worth $300. That $200, I made it better. Now that says Shmuel that no, he does collect. And Rav is going to prove that. Why? Shekach koisav le'moichel lekeach. It says because that's exactly what the seller writes to the consumer in the responsibility of the document of the sale. He writes, Ano ekum, I will substantiate, Vashape, and I will silence, Vadake, and I will purify from any contesting, Vamorig zvini ilin, and I will cleanse this sale, Inun it, Vamalein, and all the expenses, Vishabchehen, and all the increases in value, Veikim kademach, and I'll put it in front of you. And the witnesses testify, Vitzavi zvina denan, and that this lekeach agreed, he wanted this, Vekabalalei, and accepted upon himself. Now, so what Rav is saying is that since it's the meicher, it's the seller who accepts responsibility to have to compensate the lekeach when he comes to collect the shva, when he comes to collect, now he lost it because the creditor took it. Obviously, that the Baal Chayv collects the shvach from lekeach, and the lekeach goes back and collects it from the meicher. Because since he could go ahead, because that's the responsibility the seller is taking, is that he'll even compensate him for the shvach. So that's why the Baal Chayv could go ahead and collect the shvach from the lekeach. Now, on this interpretation, Omer Rav Chiya bar Oven l'Rava, he asked on Rava, Elimiata. But if that's the case, that's why you're proving Shmuel's halacha that the creditor collect the shvach, because that's a responsibility that the meicher took to lekeach, and he'll be compensated for that, so therefore, then the mechav could collect that, then matana de leksev lehachi, so then when it's not a sale, rather when it's a gift, where a person doesn't accept usually responsibility for what he gifts, hachi nami, are you saying that in such a situation, where if he gives from his properties as a gift to other people, de leitarv shivcha, that then the creditor would not be able to collect the shvach, and only could be able to collect the principal which is owed to him, since the recipient of the gift will not be able to collect the shvach from the one who gave it to him. So then you lose that logic that Rav had said, and therefore what? So that actually makes that then the Baal Chayv would not be able to collect that from the recipient of the gift. So Rav said yes, that's exactly what would be the case. So on that, asked Rav Chiya bar Oven, v'chiyafa koich matan mimecher, what do you think, that the strength of a gift is stronger than a sale? Usually a sale has a stronger rights that the one who bought than the one who's just a recipient of a gift. So in. So Rabbi said, yes, in this situation, that yafa v'yafa, that it is better and better in regards to this halacha. As we said, because since he's not going to be able to go back and collect this from the one who gifted it to him, so we don't make him lose regarding what he's not going to be able to collect, and therefore then the Malchay cannot collect it from him. Because in regards to the actual land itself, so then the creditor tells to the recipient of the gift, why do you accept the gift? Where am I going to collect my debt? So that, of course, he could collect from the recipient. But regarding the shvach, he could tell him, what am I making you lose? This is something that the recipient could tell the Baal Chayv, what do you want from me? I made it better. I'm not making you lose anything. And therefore, that he gets to keep. The only reason why we actually let the Baal Chayv take the shvach, which really has no rights to, that was this third party, is only because he could go ahead and get it. But here by Matan, he can't get it. So therefore, the Baal Chayv also doesn't get it. The Amr of Nachman, he says, we actually have a brisa that supports this halacha of Shmuel, that a Baal Chayv, a creditor, could collect the shvach, but our colleague Huna, he actually interpreted in a different area of halacha, therefore it's not going to be a proof. The Tanya Lutna, a brisa that seemingly supports halacha of Shmuel. It says, if someone sells a field to his friend, and then it's taken away from the lekeach, so the brisa says, kishu gaiva. When the lekeach goes back and collects it from the seller to get paid back now, he collects the principal from even incumbent properties. The shvach, and the shvach he could collect from the chasim necharin. In other words, obviously it was taken away from him by the Baal Chayv that he's coming to collect the shvach from the one who sold it to him. So you could only collect from the chasim necharin, but he's collecting it. Obviously, you see, like Shmuel's halacha, that the Baal Chayv could collect the shvach. However, our colleague Huna explained it in a different a different context that it's actually talking about Lekeach Megazlan. It's talking about where he bought from a robber, where it's the victim that's now coming to collect. The victim for sure collects the Shvach, because he could say, this was my land, and my land made it better, so look, maybe I'll compensate you for expenses, but of course it's my Shvach, and of course he takes the Shvach. But by a creditor, as long as he didn't collect it, it wasn't his field. He has a lien on the field, but it wasn't his field, and therefore it was in the domain of the Lekeach that made it better, and therefore, Rav Huna said there's no raya from this. You could say that it's only in the case of a gazlan that was he's collecting the Shvach, but actually in the case of a Baal Chayiv, that then the Baal Chayiv would not collect the Shvach, and then, of course, then the Lekeach would not have to collect the Shvach from the Meicher. Now, the Gemara introduces that will relate back to this halacha, Tani Idach. We learn the following braisa. HaMeicher sada l'chaveiroi v'hishbichav. Someone sold a field to his friend, and he increased the value of the field. Now a creditor comes and grabs it away from this consumer. So Keshu Gaiva, when he's coming to collect, if what he increased in the field was more value than the expenses that he expended to create the Shvach in the field, so the consumer takes as a Shvach, the increase of value that he takes Mibal HaKarka, from the owner of the land, meaning what was more than the expenses that he put in, that he goes and goes to the one who sold him the field. He says to him, look, I paid up your debt to the creditor. The creditor was owed by you a certain amount of money. Now, my field was only worth a certain amount. Now, I made it worth more because I did the Shvach. Now, he's coming collecting what you still own, not only from the field, but even from what I increased the value. So that Shvach, that's more than the expenses he collects from the one who sold it to him. Vayitzi mibal chayv. And the expenses he collects from the creditor, because the creditor has no rights for what he put in money. He could say that his land made it better, but not the expenses that he put in for all the fertilizer and all the workers, that he'll get from the Baal Chayiv, and what's beyond the Yitzia, the actual Shvach itself, that he collects from the one who sold it to him. Continues the Brayse of Ima Yitzia Yisir al Shvach, but let's say this guy had more expenses, they had more input than output, he actually spent more working than the benefit, then Ein Lo Yiven DeLekech only has Elo Hitza, he only has, regarding what he expended, he gets compensated only a sheer shvach mibal chayv, only commensurate to that amount of the shvach he's going to get according to how much he expended mibal chayv, meaning only because the expenses were more than the shvach. So he's only going to get the amount of expenses that the shvach is from the creditor, and the rest of the expenses are going to be lost. But that he'll collect from mibal chayv because that was what he expended on that. That's the brisa. On that, asks the Gemara of our Shmuel b'mayim mokim. How is Shmuel going to interpret and explain this brisa? And that is, and this is because of two different halachas of Shmuel that we mentioned on the previous daf. If it's talking about that this lekeach who had it taken away and now is going back to the one who sold it to him to collect, if it's talking about that he had bought this from a robber, in other words, when it says that the Baal Chayiv is taking away from him, it doesn't really mean a creditor, it means the victim, then kasher reisha. Then the first halacha of the brisa is difficult because the brisa said that he takes the shvach from the Baal HaKarka, the one who sold it from him. The problem is, the Amar Shmuel said, Lekeach Megazlan, Lesle Shivcha. That was Allah who mentioned in the previous stuff, that someone buys from a Megazlan, doesn't get Shvach. Because as we said from Nachman, it's Mechzik Ribis. So that would be difficult. And Ibe Baal Chayiv, and if you're saying that it's actually, yes, it's literally a creditor that taken away from Lekeach, and that's what he's coming to collect now from the one who sold it to him, then Kasher Risha this Sefer, then actually the two halachas of the Braisa are difficult. Because the Braisa told us that the creditor who's collecting it has to compensate at least to the Lekeach the value of the expenses that the Lekeach had spent on it. Now the problem is, the Amar Shmuel had said that we were just discussing before this, Baal Chayiv Goyve Es HaShvach, the creditor collects the Shvach, and he doesn't have to give anything to the Lekeach. So what are you saying? That at least according to the amount of expenses he'll collect from Baal Chayiv? Why? Shmuel said that a creditor has the right to collect all the Shvach because the Lekeach will go ahead and get collected back from the one who sold it to him. So therefore he could take it because he's not compensating him. That will go to the one who sold it. Here we see clearly that the Baal Chayiv does have to compensate him. So either way, according to these two different halachas of Shmuel, the price is difficult. So they might actually resolves it according to either one of those halachas of Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Ibai same, if you want, you could say, it's Lekeach Megazlan. It's talking about where this Lekeach had bought it from a guy who stole it from somebody. and it's the victim who's coming to collect it back from him. Now, so then, how do we understand the halacha of this price? Because we had the other halacha of Shmuel that said that you cannot collect from a meicher who stole it, you can't collect shvach. And here we see clearly that he's collecting the shvach from the one who sold it to him. So the Gemara says the two answers that we had said on the top of this amit. Either kugain sheyesh lekarka, that the one who sold it to Megazan has land, so he said then it's not Mechzik Karibis. Or Inami, the other interpretation we had from Yisrael was Mishakan Miyadi, where the witnesses had acquired the rights at the moment of the sale, which was really, we said, a problematic because it's like a loan, but it's not going to look like Ribis because it was right then that it became Mishubid and not the 6 months later, and that's why there's no Mechzik Karibis. That's one interpretation. Or Ibaisim, if you want, you could say the other way around. It's actually Bebal Choyv Leikash. It's actually talking about where he bought from a regular seller, and it's his creditor that's now collecting from the Lekech, and still it's not difficult. Why isn't it difficult? Didn't we say that both then the Reisha and the Sefer is difficult because then what is the Bal Choyv paying him for the Yitzia? We said he doesn't have to pay him anything. He could take the whole thing because he's going to get it back from the one who sold it to him. So that says the Gemara, no, because Khan. Here the Bryce is talking about b'shvach, by an increase in the land, as we continue to Medbez, hamagia l'chsefayim, that has already, which literally means they reach the shoulders, meaning it's close to reaping. It just still needs the land a little bit more. That's considered like full-fledged produce that the creditor cannot collect without compensating the lekeach for the expenses that he spent on it. Khan Shmuel that said that you get the whole thing, you don't have to pay him anything, is b'shvach she'in magia l'chsefayim. It's talking about by increase in the land, which is not yet produce that's ready to be reaped, that we consider as part of the land, and that is what the liability that the seller had taken, and therefore since he's going to compensate lekeach, therefore the Bachayv could take the entire shvach and not pay anything. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara asks, but v'amaisim chol yoyim, it's stories every single day when there are court cases that come in front of Shmuel regarding purchases that were taken away by other creditors. V'komag v'shmuel, and Shmuel goes and allows the creditor to collect all the increase with the land, even the increase of the produce that's ready to be reaped any day, as long as it still needs the land. He considered that as part of it, and the Bachav was able to take it. So we're back to the question. Why is the Braisa any different that the Bachav has to compensate at least the amount of the expenses? So says the Gemara Leikashas, not a difficulty. Ha, the Masik Be Kishir, Ar Vishivcha. One of them is talking about that we're actually the creditor that's coming to collect, it was owed to him, the amount of the land, and that wasn't even paying all the debt. The shvach was also the amount that was still owed to him. That is the case when Shmuel was talking about, that then he could collect both the land and the shvach, and he doesn't have to give anything. Ha, however, this that we learned in the Braisa, that the lekeach could go ahead and collect the expenses that he had put into making the shvach from the creditor, is the loimasig bay. Is actually where the creditor is not owed by the seller the amount of the land and the shvach. It's elikashir ara. It's only owed to him the amount of how much the land is worth. That is where the Braisa was saying the yohiv lei, that then the creditor has to go ahead and compensate the lekeach shivche, the amount of the shvach, because that's not owed to him. He can't take it away. And so he compensates him that. Umasalik lei, and that's how he takes care of the lekeach. Now Rashi addresses then why was it used in the terminology of the expenses. Why didn't it just say that he takes according to the amount of the debt from the owner of the land, and the rest, meaning the shvach, he collects from the creditor. Why we call it expenses? It's actually all the shvach that goes to lekeach. So that's actually to say the halacha, where if let's say the expenses were more than the shvach, it had to say that halacha that he only gets the expenses according to the amount of the shvach, because the bachev doesn't have to pay more than how much the shvach is worth, because you spent millions of dollars, I don't have to compensate you that, the land is owed to me. That's why it was used the terminology of expenses, but really it's the whole shvach that goes to the lekech, and that's the case of the Braisa, unlike Shmuel, where he's owed that he could collect from even the, and not have, from the shvach, and not have to give any of that to the lekech, because the lekech is going to get that back from the one who sold it to him. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara asks, "Hanich l'man d'amah." This is very well according to the opinion that holds, which this is a machlekes mesechtes ksubis dav tzad alvim beis, that I is lezuzi l'lekeach. Meaning, any time someone buys something from someone who sold them something, and then that guy's creditors come to collect, and they come to the guy who sold them, and says, "I'm sorry, I have nothing left." Well, there was all this property; we had liens on this. He says, "Okay, go to the lekuches." So the creditor comes to lekuches. So there's a machlekes. There's a opinion that says that if the lekeach has money, has cash to pay up the debt, He actually cannot remove the creditor from the land, because actually, the first one who had rights to this land was the creditor. So if he wants, he could take the land, even though the consumer says, I'll pay you the debt. No, I want the land. So according to that opinion, Shapir, you could say what we said, that when there is land that's more than the debt, together with the shvach, then it's where we're saying that, what is he going to do? He's going to go ahead and pay the lekeach the money against the will of the lekeach, and the lekeach cannot say, wait a second, you only have the debt is according to the amount of the land. That's the way we're describing the halacha, the brisa. The shvach, you're not owed that. So what do you mean? Give me the amount of land, the worth of my shvach. And that we're saying, according to this opinion, the Baal Chayiv, the creditor, could say, no, this land is all mine. You came down onto this land without permission. It's owed to me. Even if you wanted to offer me money, I wouldn't have to take it. So it makes sense that it's his land. Although he increased the benefit, fine. But I don't have to leave you any land. I'll pay you for how much the shvach is, because that's actually, I rightfully owe that to you. Elamando amarki is leizuzi lekech, but according to the opinion that says, it's not really owned by the creditor. Because actually, if the consumer had money, matzimisalik lebal chayvi, actually would be able to remove the creditor from any rights of grabbing away the field. So then, according to that interpretation, neimalei let the lekech say to the bal chayv, look, ilo have leizuzi, if I would have had money, I would have gotten rid of you from the entire field. You have no rights on this field. You have a lien. And yes, if I can't pay you, then you'll take it. But if I would had money, I would have gotten you away from this field. So hashta de les lezuzi. So now that I don't have money, and yes, you're going to be taking the land away. But havli garava da'ara ba'ara shir shevchoy. But then you should have to give me a parcel of land worth the amount of the shvach that I increased, because ultimately, that money that you're going to pay me for that is money that I have, and therefore I want to be able to maintain the rights on the field, because you don't own the field. If I had money, I'd be able to get you away from this. So again, then give me the amount of money in the field. And why is the halacha that the Brice is saying that he could take away the whole field and just have to pay him back? Why? He should be allowed to hold on to the field itself. So I think Mara says, Hachma Iskinan, what are we talking about over here in this Brice that is Kagoyin Sha'asoi? It's talking about where the borrower, who was the one who sold this field off, had made the creditor for this field in Apoitiki. He made the field in Apoitiki. Apoitiki is where he designates Apoitiki. You're going to collect if I default on the loan from this field. It's your, this is your field. The Amalei, where then he could tell him, Lo yehi lecha paroin el mezu. In other words, the borrower is telling the lender that this is where you're going to collect from. So in such a case, explains Rashi, everyone would agree that even if the lekech would have money, he would not be able to remove him by saying, look, I'll pay up money, because Napaitiki, it's his field. Even according to the one that says usually the lekech could pay him up and get rid of him, and it's for that reason that that's why the Brisa says, even to all interpretations, that he takes it, but again, he has to at least pay him the amount of the Yitzah, or even the whole Shvach, because again, we're told that it's only owed to him the land and not the Shvach, but that doesn't contradict Shmuel, because Shmuel's told where he's owed not only the land, but even the amount of the Shvach, that he could take the whole thing, not compensated, and then lekech goes and collect that from the one that sold it to him. Now the Gemara moves on, similar to the machlekes in the previous daf of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara moves on to another similar machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. And the first one in the previous daf was talking about where someone sold the field to someone else. Then it turns out that he was a goslin. So then we had machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. Could he only collect his money or even the shvach from the one who sold him who was a goslin? Now this case is talking about hikrba. If the purchaser recognizes when he's coming to buy this field, he realizes it's not the seller's field. It's pretty. He saw this guy as a crafty, shady type of a guy. He knows this guy stole the field. And he still bought it from him anyway. And then the victim comes and collects the field. What's the halacha? So I'm a Rav. Rav says, mo'is yeshloi. Money for the amount of how much he paid him for the field, he could collect that from the one who sold it to him when the victim comes and takes the field away from him. Now, shvach ain't like, but the increase that he had benefited the field, that he doesn't get, because that land was never bought. He knew it was stolen field. He never bought in the first place to get compensated the shvach, in contrast to the previous case when he didn't know at the time, that he gets compensated according to Raf and the shvach. Here where he knew it was stolen field, the money he gets back, but not the shvach. Ushmulam, he says, Afilamoy Sainlay, says he doesn't even get his money back. So as says the Gemara, regarding what principle are they disagreeing? So the Gemara explains, Rav Sava, Rav holds, Adam Yudeish Karka Ainlay. A person knows that he's not getting land. He knows it's a stolen field. So why is he giving money to this seller? He knows he's not a seller. He concludes and he really gives it with the intention of depositing the money with this guy. When the guy comes to collect from him, then he's going to take his deposit back. But it was given as a deposit. That's why, a deposit, so he could get his money back. Now, that thing more as, then why didn't he just give it to him as a bekotten? Why do you have to go through this ruse about like, oh, you're selling me this field? Wink, wink. Oh, it's a sale. Great, let me pay you for $100. Oh, and then when the victim comes, then he gets it back? Why didn't he just deposit if he wanted to deposit his money with someone? Says the Gemara, Sava lemekabel. It's because this lekiach thinks that the one who's, quote, selling him this field would not be agreeable to watching his money for nothing. So he goes through it with this sham just so that his money could be watched for the interim, but he never wanted to lose his money. He gave it really as a bekadon. Whereas Rosh Musa, but he holds that no other midah shekarka ain like this guy knows he's not getting land. And he concluded and he gave it as a gift. Because why are you giving money to someone else? You know you're not buying anything. Must be he was gifting it to the guy. That's why he doesn't even get money when the victim comes and takes the field away from him. Then the question is, why didn't you just tell the guy, here, I want to gift you $100. We have to go through this whole ruse about saying that, oh, I'll buy it from you and then wait till the victim comes. So now the Gemara says, Ksifale Milsa. It's because the guy's going to be embarrassed. No one wants to take a handout. So he makes this make-believe, oh, you owe this field. Yeah, I'll buy it from you. Here's $100. And he knows that the victim's going to come any day. But his intention was to give it as a gift. Now the Gemara asks, but v'pligi b'chad ha-zimna. If that's machlekes Rav and Shmuel, they already disagreed on this same principle once before. Did ma like we learned. Ha-mekadesh ha-sachayis. If someone gets engaged to his sister. Now, everybody knows you cannot engage a sister. It's one of the basic arayas in the Torah, which Kedushin is not taifas. So what's going on when you're giving her the ring? So Rav ma mois chayzen. Rav says that he gets the money back. Shmuel says that money, the ring, whatever it is that you gave to the kala, the sister, is as a gift. So the Gemara explains. Rav Mamois Chesni says that he gets the money back. I mean, in other words, the kedushin money he gets back. Because other midesh in kedushin teves machayis. Everybody knows you can't really engage a sister. So really, what he intended to do was really just wanted to deposit his money by his sister for her to watch the money, and that was his intention. Although he was making believe that it was a kedushin. So the question of the name of the Lashon B'Kodin, why don't you just tell her, hey, sister, can you please watch this ring, this money for me? That says the Gemara. He thought, the brother thought, she's not going to want to watch his stuff. So when he says, do you want to get engaged? And he says, yeah, get engaged. And then he comes back and says later, you know, there's no engagement. I just wanted you to watch it. But Shmuel says, no, the money was a gift. Because everybody knows that you can't engage a sister. And he really concluded when he gave it to her, he knew it's not really engaging her. His intention was to give her a gift. Now, the name of the Lashon B'Kodesh, why don't you just tell her here's a gift? And that says the Gemara, Ksifa La Milsa, she'll be embarrassed. She doesn't want a handout from her brother. So he makes believe it's engagement. So the Gemara's question is, so we already had the same machlekes once by kedushin of a sister. Why are they having the same machlekes regarding buying from a gazan? And that says the Gemara Tzricha, we have to say both. Because if we only had the case that we're discussing here in the Gemara of Geneva, Baha Kamarav, maybe over there did Rav say that he gets his money back? Because people don't usually give gifts to random people. So if you're buying something from somebody, you weren't intending to gift it to him. You obviously were intending to deposit it with him because you knew it wasn't a sale. You knew it was a stolen field. But by a sister, I would say that maybe Rav would agree to Shmuel that he was gifting it, because a sister, you would give a gift. That's where I have to say that there also he holds that it's only a pekadon. So to the other way around. Had we only said the one by the sister, maybe Bahach come Shmuel. Maybe they did Shmuel say that it's a gift, because it's a sister. But in the case of buying the stolen field, maybe we would say he would agree to Rav that it was a pekadon, not a gift. That's where we have to say both of them, that even there does he hold that it's a gift and not a pekadon. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Bein l'Rav d'am pekadon, whether according to Rav that says that it was a deposit, or Bein l'Shmuel d'am matana, whether according to Shmuel that says here by the stolen field, that he was really giving the money as a gift, because he knew the field's going to be taken away from him any day. But the question is, Hai la'ara b'may konochas? This guy who, quote, bought the field, he knows it's a stolen field, how is he allowing himself to go down to the field? How is he eating produce that he's planting in this stolen field? In other words, how could we say that the reason of Rav in this halacha is because this guy really knew it was stolen field and he concluded that he's giving the money just as a deposit, and the reason of Shmuel was because he concluded he's going to give it as a gift? Now, If he knew, according to either one of these interpretations, that really it's a stolen field and he's only giving it as a gift or a deposit, then how exactly did he allow himself to go into someone else's field to work and to eat the produce? In other words, the Gemara's question is that obviously you have to say that he thought that it was a valid sale because he wasn't so proficient in Jewish law, and must be that the Machlokes Rav Shmuel is actually based on a different principle, because how could this guy have gone and into another person's field if he knew that it wasn't really a sale and he's just depositing or giving a gift? So the Gemara says, no, Savar, he thought the following rationalization. Ano Eichus La'ara, I will go down to this guy's land. V'yavid v'yechel begavei, I will work the land and I'll eat the produce of this land. Ki heichad ha'va ko'ovid ihu, and this is where the rationalization comes in. Just like the thief would have done it anyway. So, l'chi asim maridara, when the owner of the land then comes, so zuzi nahavid, then let the money that I gave to the seller be, according to each interpretation. L'rav da'amid b'kadin b'kadin, according to Rav that said that it's a b'kadin, in other words, according to his interpretation, what we're going to say that this guy is saying that the money should be a pekadon. The Shmuel da matan, according to Shmuel that said it's a gift, we're going to explain what this guy is saying is that the money should be, will be a matana. And because yes, the guy would rationalize, say, what do you mean? Anyway, someone would be using the field. Let me use it. What's with the money? It's not a real sale. Fine, when the guy comes, let it be, according to either interpretation, as a gift or as a pekadon. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, he concludes from different halachas in the previous daf, with three different opinions of Shmuel, with machlekes of Rav, says, Hilchas ad halacha is, regarding the first machlekes Rav and Shmuel on the previous daf, on Yudalam Abbas, that the halacha is, Yeshle mois v'yeshle shvach, meaning in other words, when the person buys a field from a seller, not knowing that he was a thief, turns out that he was a thief, so the halacha is that, first of all, he could collect the money and what he increased the value of the field. Moreover, even if he didn't specify, there was no stipulation beforehand that there's going to be shvach. In other words, we don't hold like Shmuel that said that regarding to shvach, you have to first consult with the seller to see if he's going to be agreeable to shvach. And that says, Rava, halacha is like Rav, that he gets his money back, he gets the shvach back, even if there was no specific stipulation beforehand, where Shmuel said in general, you always have to, even not regarding this case, even by regular sale, you have to first consult with the seller. No, it's always going to be that the lekeach could go ahead and collect the shvach. Moreover, a second halacha, hikar ba she'ina shalev lekacha, the case that we just discussed in Machlokes Rav Shmuel on this summit, where if the consumer realized that it wasn't this guy's field, and he bought it anyway, mois yeshloi shvach einloi, so then he could collect his money and not get the shvach, which was like Rav, not like Shmuel, who said he doesn't even get the money. And a third halacha, achrayis, regarding responsibility, meaning to say, regarding if someone writes a document on something that he could be able to collect, that he could even collect from the chasim mishabadim, that is tois sarfahu. If it wasn't written in the document, it must be a scribal error, and we actually would allow the collector to collect even from the chasim mishabadim. And that halacha applies be mishtar halva, even not meaning both by a document of a loan, which again is like the halacha of the Rabbanah of our Mishnah, that they hold that you could always collect from the chasim mishabadim, even if there's no achrayis in the chasim, because it must have been a scribal error. Moreover, bein bishtari mekecha memcha, it even applies to documents of a sale. In other words, what Rav is saying is that we don't hold like Shmuel, who said that even by shibud, by a regular lien of the chasim mishabadim, tzarech limalach, you have to first consult the seller. And that Rebbe is saying that even by Mekech Memcha, you don't have to consult. It's automatically going to be considered Achrayis Toyos Sefer, who always you say that no one's going to lend or even sell without Achrayis, that no one's going to buy without having Achrayis to be able to collect from Nechasim Shabbatim. Now the Gemara goes back regarding what we had mentioned before. Bo'yimine Shmuel Merav. Shmuel asked from Rav, what's the halacha if Chazer, if the Goslin went back, and he went back and purchased this from the original owners? In other words, we had mentioned the case before when a gazlan went and sold it to somebody else. So we had a machlekes on Daf Yudalam Abayz regarding, the guy finds out, you sold me this field, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a gazlan. The victim's coming claiming this field. So says, oh, I'm sorry. So we had a machlekes Rav Shmuel, could he collect the shvach from him or not? Now Shmuel wants to know from Rav, what would be the halacha if the goslin, after he sold to this guy, he's like, I can't believe I just sold this guy a stolen field. So he goes and purchases it back, meaning he goes to the real owner and purchases it from him. Ma, what's the halacha? In other words, would we say that the gavlin now takes the place, because that's who he's buying it from the real owner, so it's as if someone else bought the field from that owner, and therefore he can now go ahead and collect it, this gavlin, from the lekech. What's the halacha? Because essentially the real owner would go ahead and collect from the lekech. Now obviously the gavlin cannot collect from the lekech because he sold it to him, albeit he was selling him a stolen field. But what's the halacha if he buys it from the original owner? Now after he sold it to him, is he essentially like another person, and then he could go ahead and collect it actually back from the guy that he sold it to? So Amalei, so Rav said to Shmuel that actually he cannot collect it from the lekech, because when he sold the field originally, which he didn't even own it at that time, when he sold it to the lekech, what does the first guy sell to the second guy? In other words, the gazan, when he sold it to the lekech, he sold him any rights that he's going to have in this thing, he sold everything to the lekech. So now when he then subsequently purchases it, that rights in that field that he sold him, he's selling him that rights too, that now he bought it, that actually goes to lekech, and he can't use it as a right to collect it back from lekech. So the Gemara wonders then, if that's the case, then my taima, why then did he go back and purchase it from the original owner if you just said the halacha is it's anyways not going to go to him, it's going to go to the guy he sold it to, which anyways he sold it to him. Yeah, he wasn't able to because he didn't own it, but why did he go ahead and purchase it? So the Gemara gives two interpretations. Marzutram, he says, Nichalei delei nikrai gazlana. What's called extrinsic motivation. He doesn't want that he should be called a robber. So in other words, he doesn't want people to embarrass him that when the victim is going to come and collect, he has his whole family there, and they come in with police, they say, what are you doing in my field? My field, I bought this from that guy. Said, I didn't, it's my field. This guy must have been a gazlan. So the word's going to get out that this guy is a robber. He's someone to stay away from. So because of that, he wants to substantiate the sale he made to the lekech, and that's why he buys it from the meicher. But essentially, it's only that he's buying it so that he could keep it by the lekech. Right, as the halacha is, it goes to lekech. But why did he buy it? Because he actually wants it to be by him. He doesn't want word to get out that he's a gazel. Rav Ashi Amar, he says actually what would be considered more intrinsic motivation, more value-based. Nichalei deleka behemenusei. He prefers that he should be a trustworthy person. Nothing to do with what people are going to say. That is, he just wants to be trustworthy, and that's why he buys it from that guy. But not because it's going to go to him, but rather, like Ravid said, it goes and it's maintained by the lekech. So the Gemara is, my benai, what's the difference between these two different interpretations? If it's extrinsic motivation is what people say about him, or intrinsic motivation because of his value system, what's the difference? So that the Gemara says, ik benai demis lekech. The difference between them would be if the lekech dies. Now, after, in other words, he dies after the lekech already purchased the field from the original owners, and now the gazan wants to go ahead and collect the field that he sold to the lekech from that lekech's children. As the Gemara explains, Mandam, according to the Pindat, says that the only reason why he wanted to maintain the sale to the lekech was only because Nichalei delei likrai gazlan. He doesn't want people to say about him screaming, hey, you're a thief. So then as we continue on top of Tezayin Min Aleph, Hamislei, the lekech has already died. Who's going to embarrass him anymore? So therefore, obviously, when this guy bought the field from the lekech, from the real owner, it was only so that he could maintain it by the lekech when he's alive. But not after that he's dead, because he's only concerned what people are going to say about him. Now that he's dead, that wasn't the reason why he bought it, and therefore then those rights that he bought from the original owner, he could go ahead and collect that from the inheritors of the one he bought from. But according to the one that says that he just wants to be considered a trustworthy person, he wants to maintain his values. So even with the sons, he wants to maintain his trustworthiness because that is something that he sold and he took money from their father and now he's actually going and taking that back. So therefore, for that interpretation, he would not be able to take it away from them. Now, however, in this explanation, the Gemara asks, but saif, at the end of the day, karulei b'nei lekech gazlana. If this guy is concerned about extrinsic motivation, what people are going to say about him, here you're going to have the same thing. Because even the sons of lekech are going to call him a thief. What's even if the guy he sold to is dead, his children are going to say he's a thief. So how does that help? According to both interpretations, should be that you would not be able to take it away from the sons. So Eli Kamenai, Rabbi Gemara says the difference between them would be demiz gazlam. If the robber, after that he had bought it from the real owner, he passed away. Now his sons, since they have the deed from the real owner, are coming to collect from the lekech, what allegedly their father had sold inappropriately first to this guy. So explains the Gemara. Mandam anich lele inish lele kore gazlan. According to the one that says that he doesn't want what people say about him, hamisli, the guy's dead. And therefore, he doesn't care what people are saying about him. Therefore, his intention was only when he had bought it, was because when he's alive, he doesn't want to be embarrassed. Now that he's dead, he's not going to be embarrassed anymore. So therefore, the sons would be allowed to collect it from the lekech. But according to the one that said it was coming from his value system, so here also, even though he's dead from before, but he prefers, even after he's dead, that his value system should be maintained. He was coming from a value system that is something he wants to be maintained even after he's dead. So that would be the difference between the two different interpretations. And that the Gemara says, still, no, safe, at the end of the day, even the guy that was concerned about what they're going to say about him, now, although he's dead, but they're going to be embarrassing him after he's dead because they're going to say that his sons are the sons of a robber. Knowing about that, he doesn't even want that, what people are going to say about him. That's why people make plaques and all the different things. They want what people are going to remember them for, which is extrinsic motivation, that you're going to have even after he's dead. So, Eleka Benai, Rav, the Gemara says the difference between the two different interpretations is going to be the Yahava B'matana. This guy that he gave it to, it wasn't sold to him. This, it wasn't even his field, it was stolen field. He actually gifted it to him. So that the Gemara explains, Mandam anichali delikim b'menusa, according to the one that says he wants to maintain his trustworthiness. Matana nam anichali delikim b'menusa, he wants to maintain his value system, that how could I have given this guy a gift when I know it wasn't even mine? He goes and buys it so that he could, that this gift could be maintained. But Mandam anichali delikim kuri gazlan, but according to the one that says he just doesn't want people to call him a thief, Amalei, my gazlin menach. According to that interpretation, he could say, what I steal from you. I didn't take money from you. That's to say, hey, you thief, they're taking it away from me. I gave you as a gift. Okay. I wasn't trustworthy, but he's not concerned. This guy who is more concerned with extrinsic motivation wouldn't be so concerned that if it's going to be taken away as the gift, because okay, you know what, I make you lose. I didn't take anything from you. That would be the differences between the two different interpretations for the reason why the guy would buy it back from the original owner. Again, where Rav had said that he wouldn't get it. He actually would have to maintain it by the lekeach, because whatever he sold that guy originally, which even though it wasn't a real sale, but he took money from him, was whatever merits he's going to have in that thing, which when he goes and subsequently buys it, goes to lekeach. But then we ask, so why would he buy it? That was again either because of extrinsic motivation or intrinsic motivation, which the difference would be in the case of when he's giving it to that third party is as a matana.